الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or this Islamic study class is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic study class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject we're going to discuss is marriage or marriage in Islam. Allah says in one of the ayats in the Quran, in the verse in the Quran, He says, He is the one who created you from a single person, meaning Adam. Then He created for him his wife, meaning Eve or Hawa, in order that he might enjoy the pleasure of living with her. I'm going to go on that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said. And again, I want to emphasize to you all is that this is just a very, very tip of the iceberg pertaining to marriage, because marriage has different in Islam. It has different kinds of parts to it, but I'm just giving you one small part. It's a basic parts about Islam and marriage. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, when a servant gets married, he completes half of his religion. So let him fear Allah for the remaining half. So we are encouraged as Muslims to get married, not to fornicate, commit adultery, anything like that, have sex outside of marriage. Only sex that we can have is that with our spouse. And in Islam, our spouse is a person that, of course, they are a male married a female, and a female married a male with all original parts. I'm going to leave that part there because that's a whole nother episode to talk about that particular area. But for right now, I'm just going to say what I just said, and we'll leave it there. And so he said he encouraged us to get married, because getting married is half your faith and the responsibility of getting married. And also the other half is fearing Allah. Khawf Allah, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glory be to Allah. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, he said, by Allah, because what happened is that, let me give you this kind of background story. What happened, he was home, and there was some guys talking, like near his window, we could hear him. And one man said, they were talking about kind of like building up their iman, their faith up. And so one man said, well, I'm never going to get married, and just basically, you know, spend my time worshiping Allah. He said, I'm gonna fast and not break my fast. And then the other ones mentioned the fact that he is going to pray all the time. I believe these are the three areas that they talked about. And so the Prophet, peace be upon him, he heard them and he went out and he corrected them. And he said, I'm the most fearful of Allah of you. And I have the most taqwa, or piety, if you will. However, I fast and break my fast, pray at night, and sleep. And I marry women. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, meaning my way, my path, Laysa Mene, he is not from me. And so we see from this, he immediately corrected his men. Perhaps they had good intentions. They wanted to increase their worship of Allah. And didn't want anything, and I'm not making an excuse for them, but maybe it's how they were thinking. I want anything to get in the way of my ibadah, my worship of Allah, increasing my worship of Allah. And so then he corrected them. Look, I fast and I break my fast. I don't fast all the time. I don't pray all the time. I do get sleep because my body has rights on me, so that I do sleep, and I marry women. That's what I do, and basically that's what you should be doing, the same thing. And this is what he mentions to them, is that I fast and break my fast. I pray at night and sleep. And also I marry women. So whoever turns away from my sunnah, from my way, my path, they're not from me. So you want to be from the Prophet Muhammad, part of his ummah, his nation, if you will. Then you have to do these things and not do your own thing, although you may have good intentions, but not do your own thing. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said to some young men, he said, oh, young men, sahaba, he said, whoever of you has the ability must wed. So you have the ability to wed, then you should get married. Don't make up excuses. Oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have all these things. Okay, sometimes it's better for you to be married than not married. Like young people, for example, they fall in love with each other, they're very, very young, so they may end up, instead of committing fornication or anything like that, then they can get married and make arrangements that they can still live with their parents and still see each other and visit with each other as husband and wife, or both of them live at one of the parents' homes. That is okay. This is halal. This is permissible to do. But it's haram to do, is harmful and prohibited, is those two people having sex with each other and not being married to each other. Now I want to mention some things that are forbidden regarding marriage in Islam. And one is, and it says here that if you find them, meaning believing women, that they come to you, then do not send them back. Because some of the believing women, they believers, but during that time, and they left their husband and came to be with the Muslims. And so at that point when they became Muslim, really they became unlawful for that husband, and she became unlawful for him. So these particular women, and it says believing women, that do not send them back to the disbelievers, the ones that don't believe in the same thing they believe. These women are not lawful wives for the disbeliever, nor are the disbelievers lawful husbands for them. So please keep this in mind. I know out there there may be some Muslim women or Muslim men that Muslim women I talk about for right now, they may be in love with someone that is not a Muslim. So you can't lawfully, according to this particular verse, which is verse 60, which I should have said that to you, chapter 60, verse 10. Again, chapter 60, verse 10, when it says don't send them back. That unlawful to these women are the ones that don't believe what they believe. The disbeliever men are unlawful to them, and they are unlawful to the disbelieving men. And they cannot be their husband. No matter what excuses people put in their minds about it's okay, I'd rather be with him and be married than to be single and fornicate, whatever. You really, Islamically, you're really not married because you can't marry them. It's forbidden for you to get married, the women, to a person who does not believe or not part of your faith. And so this is Islam, like it or not. I'm not here to tell you what to like anything that I say. I just had the proof from Quran, with chapter 60, verse 10, where you can find where it's prohibited for a Muslim woman to marry a non-Muslim man. No matter what excuses you put in your head that you can't marry him, you are not lawful to marry this person. And so you really would be fornicating with this individual that you say that you're married to, although you go through the whole marriage process, whatever it may be, but really it is illegal marriage that you are part of. So I just wanted to present that the truth to you, and it may hurt a little bit, sting a little bit, but that's what it is, because I've known some people been married to a non-Muslim man for a long time and had children by the person. Another person did it, and then 15 years into the marriage, and they felt bad about it, because every day during their marriage, they felt like they were doing something wrong, because although they loved this individual, still he was not Muslim, and he stayed not Muslim. So sister made up an excuse for the man and said something like, well, I married this non-Muslim man because he allows me to, what? He allowed me to be Muslim. Again, you can't make up excuses for disobeying Allah. And Allah says in this particular verse, chapter 60, verse 10, is that you are not lawful for the disbelievers, those who don't believe what you believe, and they are unlawful for you. So I just wanted to put emphasis on that, what is forbidden in terms of marriage in Islam. So another thing that is forbidden in terms of marriage in Islam is, and it says, La nikah illa bi wali. Which is that the translation of that is, there is no marriage except with the wali. The wali basically is a blood relative. I hope I explained this clearly for your understanding before you. Like it could be a father, an uncle, a grandfather, a brother that is Muslim, that is related to this particular woman who wants to get married. He could be her wali, W-A-L-I. Or a person can be their wakil, W-A-K-I-L. And a wakil is sort of a deputy wali. It's a person that's not related to the woman. And matter of fact, a wakil can marry the woman. A wali cannot, because he's what you call, he's a mahram for the woman. So he really cannot marry that woman because she's related to him in some kind of way. She's his niece or sister or daughter, something like that, granddaughter, so he, of course, can marry them. And, of course, the wakil can marry this woman because he had no blood relation or no other reason why he shouldn't be able to marry this individual. And so I'm saying that to you all, the difference between the two, and that here, Islamically, that a woman should not or cannot get married without a wali involved. And some women may think, okay, it's okay, I can handle, I've been married before, all these different reasons they make up. But I'm just pointing out what is more so the obvious. And you can look it up if you want to, is that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, La, or sometimes he said, Wala bi nikah, illa bi wali. And it said there is no marriage except with a wali being present, a part of the person getting married. Also, something else that's forbidding is, in Prophet Muhammad, he said, a woman and her paternal aunt should not be married to the same man, and similarly, a woman and her maternal aunt should not be married to the same man. Okay, so I wanted to kind of clear this even more. I can't be married to my wife and her aunt, or to my wife and her sister, her blood sister. I can't be married to two of them at the same time. It's forbidden to do. And I certainly can't be married to my wife and her mother. Because what happens there, my relationship changes a lot when I marry my wife and her mother becomes like my mother. I can kiss her. I can travel her with her because she becomes like my mother to her for life. Even if I divorce from my wife, her mother is still my mother. And same thing for my wife. Any husbands that my daughters marry and they divorce them, these men are considered sons of for my wife. And I'm the, or of course, any daughters, hope you're not confused too much, any women that marry my sons, then they become permanent daughters of mine. And I could never marry them and travel with them and hug them, that kind of thing, and treat them like my biological daughters. And so that's how, and there's a lot of other things involved with what changes when a person gets married, but I just want to mention that a man cannot be married to an aunt and a niece and the like, what I mentioned to you all earlier. And anyone that does this kind of thing, they're going so with culture or something they want to do, but it does it have anything to do with Islam? I know it does not. Also, I want to mention that it was mentioned by Abu Huraira. He mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, saying, a man must not ask a woman in marriage when his brother has done so already until he marries or gives her up. And for example, if I'm interested in a woman and I have to make intention upon her that I intend to marry you, and then we have sort of have a courtship, if you will, and getting to know each other a little bit more. So no other brother can come to that same woman and say to her, look, I want to marry you, and make intention upon her because she's already intended to me. If she's not intended to me, then it leaves that door open for another brother to come and talk to her, and he make intentions, and then she has to cut off talking to me and talk to him. Or if she's intended to me, she has to tell him, look, I am intended to brother so-and-so, and so really I can't accept your intentions. She has to be only intended to one man at a time, not multiple men. And then, but if she gets married to that man, okay, of course she's no longer on the market, if you will. Or if he gives her up and say, I'm not no longer intended to this woman, or he's not longer intended to me, then that means that her it's over for her to be intended to someone else. So I just wanted to mention these few things to you. And of course, there's other aspects of Islam, like muta wedding, which is a temporary marriage, but I won't get into that. We can maybe do that another time. But like I said, there's so many various aspects of this faith pertaining to marriage. I just can't tackle it all just in this short amount of time that is allotted for me to talk to you about Islam. And when a person gets married, so they have to have basically some several things part of the criteria for getting married. And one of the criteria for getting married is that they have what they call a mahr, M-A-H-R, or dowry. And then the man will give to the woman basically what she asked for. She can ask for money, car, house, whatever. And he can afford it, then of course he'd give it to her. I can't say, for example, you give me, I'm the father of the woman, you give me the dowry that he gives to you. No, that's not, that's hers. That's her gift from him. And that's it. I can't take it for exchange, or you're buying my daughter from me. No, it doesn't work like that. I can't tell her what kind of gift to get from the man, and nor can I have her give me whatever gift she receives from the man, because it is exactly that. It is her gift from him. And also another aspect, so that's one of the criteria. Another criteria for marriage is to have at least two witnesses there at the marriage, at least two. Another criteria for marriage in Islam is the asking her to and for marriage, and she accepting is an offer or acceptance of marriage. I say to the sister, for example, sister so-and-so, will you marry me or take me as a husband? A word that I'm saying so you'll understand I want her to be my wife. And then she will say, just plainly, just yes. That's it. That's enough. She can say more if she likes, but she can just plainly say yes or yes, I will take you. I'll take you as my husband and that sort of thing. I've conducted various marriages, and some brothers, they may say, the sister may say, it has been my honor, my pleasure to take you as my husband. She is like so zealous and happy about this individual being her husband or her being his wife. When the people, when they get married, is that they should spend a certain amount of time, these are my words, sort of mandated time with their new spouse. So what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that they should, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that a woman who was previously married, 3 days for the previously married woman, and 7 days for a virgin. And so if I marry a woman that's been divorced and married before, then we're going to spend at least 3 days together, sort of a honeymoon, if you will. 3 days together, uninterrupted, leave us alone for a woman who's already been married. But for a person who is a virgin, then again, we're allowed 7 days to be with that individual, to get to know them. You get to know, she gets to know you. You get to know her and explore whatever you need to explore pertaining to each other and each other's body. And so I won't go into any more details, but you all know what I'm talking about. So the woman who is previously married, 3 days. I mean, of course, it can be more. Allah knows best, but at least 3 days, and then of course a woman that is the person who is a virgin, 7 days, and that's just like basically a minimum. And these are my words, a minimum, but it could be much more than that. But really, it should not be less than that, because that's not what the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said. He said 3 days for the previous married woman. And then also 7 days for the person who is a virgin. Now, let me get to something that people need to understand, and that is the permissibility or permissible for marriage. Who is permissible for marriage? So in chapter 5, verse 5. And so it says, again, chapter 5, verse 5. And permissible for you in marriage, and this is talking about the men, chaste believing women, as well as chaste women of those given the scripture, meaning Jewish women and the Christian women, before you, as long as you pay them their dowries in wedlock, which I mentioned earlier. Neither fornicating nor taking them as mistress. And whoever rejects the faith, all their good deeds will be void in this life, and in hereafter they will be amongst the losers. So let me go with the first part, is that what is lawful for the Muslim man, which is different for the Muslim woman. A Muslim woman cannot be, and I know some people are going to say, oh, it's not fair, that kind of thing. It's just all about obeying Allah. That's what it is. Allah knows people. He created, He a Khalid, He created all of us. And this is what he said, and that's it. It was not a man-made thing. Or something, a bunch of men got together and say, hey, guess what? Let's make the women not marry non-Muslim men, but we can marry non-Muslim women. No, that's not it. This is coming from Allah, and if you want to argue or upset about it, then okay, you take it to Allah. That's what you do. I can't argue and go back and forth with you. I didn't make the rule and the regulations. And so the thing is that a Muslim man can marry non-Muslim women. They have to be Christian or Jews, chaste women and the like. But some scholars, you might have them that say, no, that was during that time. We can't do that now. And then you have some scholars that say, oh, okay, it's okay to do that. But I'm not getting into that controversy. I'm just saying what the particular verse says is that we are allowed to marry non-Muslim women. A Muslim man is allowed to marry Muslim, non-Muslim women that are of the Christian faith and also of the Jewish faith. Other non-Muslim women that worship this or worship that, those are women we can't marry. A polytheist woman, a person who is a mushrik, whatever, they worship multiple gods, that kind of person we cannot marry. And I'm going to leave that there because that goes into a whole nother episode. And I saw also we want to mention to you the qualities of a spouse. And the mention about a woman is married because of her religiousness, wealth, or beauty. And some say even for her lineage, her family lineage. So go to the one who is religious. So we see from this is, yes, that a woman is married for her beauty. She is married for her money. She is married for her family. She is married for her, in other words, family lineage. And she is married for her wealth, those things, about four things, and for her religion. But it's best to marry a woman for her religion, because she had that religious strength about her, iman about her. That's the best woman. That's also going to be the woman that's going to be taking care of your children and educating your children. And they are women are normally the first educator of the household. Particularly, we're talking about the children. And so the rights of a wife, and I'm running out a little bit of time, but I'm kind of going through this a little bit quickly. One right of the wife is she has what is called a mar, M-A-H-R, which I mentioned to you earlier. That's a dowry. And also what you call a nifaq. That's N-A-F-A-Q-A-H. And that is basically giving her money, or with her money is basically her money, and we in the fact is maintaining her, take care of her. She don't have to get like one dime towards the household because we have the responsibility as men to take care of her. What do I mean by that? Allah mentioned that men are the protection and maintainers of women because Allah has given one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. And so we see from this, we support the women from our means. They can help if they want to. You have some scholars that say, look, if a woman helps with the household, then at that point, the man become indebted to this woman because she used her money, because whatever money she earns, it's her money. She can spend it whatever way she wants and whatever fashion she wants, give away if she wants to, or put it in the bank and let it pile up. That's all. That's up to her. But it's your responsibility as a man, being a man of the household, is that you are going to be the protector, the maintainer of the woman from the means, from Allah, whatever Allah blesses you with. That's what you're supposed to do. When a woman decides, okay, I'm going to you run short, I'm going to pay the bills this month, and some scholars say, now you owe back to that woman. The woman can say, no, don't worry about it. We're in this together. We're not going to be homeless. We're not going to be without electricity and food and the light. And so don't worry about it. Don't worry about paying me back. I'm good because we're in this together. That's fine. Also, the one that writes on the man, the man or the husband to be the head of the household. Of course, to be have the right to be obeyed by his wife and those things which are good. It makes sense. If a woman, we are supposed to make five prayers a day, and the man say, no, for now, you're only going to make three prayers a day. Or fast during the month of Ramadan, tells her, no, you're not fasting during the month of Ramadan, this whole Ramadan, or every other day or something foolish like that. Okay, he can't do that. So, of course, you don't obey him over obeying Allah. And so I want to mention one more thing to you, and that is, where you're not allowed to have, and this is right, not allowed to have anyone in the house except basically by his permission, or allow anyone in the house that he doesn't really want there. Because every time a certain person come over the house, they cause problems in the household between you and your spouse. And so this individual, your husband can say, no, I don't want them to come to the house, because every time they come to the house, they cause problems, so keep them out the house. So that is part of his rights, his rights are your responsibility as a woman to allow that for him. And I want to mention to the men that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he always treated his wives very, very kindly and very, very nicely. And so we have to follow how did he treat his wife? And that's what we have to do. Not our way, but his way. I want to mention one last thing, and that is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, there's nothing like marriage for two who love one another. You want to know more about Islam and what I just talked about in marriage? You can go to Why Islam. Or you want to really learn more about Islam and even get a certificate in it or degree, you go to the International Online University or American Open University. I don't receive anything endorsement from these organizations. It's just or the educational organization or Why Islam. I'm just trying to get you to get more information and sound information about the Islamic faith. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.